When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You ever wonder what the point of life is? Why we're squatting on this big hunk of space rock that is traveling across the sun, that we're slowly poisoning, and will eventually be consumed by entropy? Oh yeah, that's right, it's to subscribe to fellow artist Patreons, such as myself, an artist. Patreon.com/MatthewDonnell. There you can find bonus content for both my shows, The Ritwin and Paleobites. For the Paleobites bonus content, we discuss pop culture featuring prehistoric animals. And this month, we're talking about, that's right, we're finally doing it, Jurassic Park! The book. The original book from 1990 by Michael Crichton, the one that the movie was based off of. Did you know it was based off a book? I didn't. Of course you did. Link is in the description for where you can sign up to the Patreon. Thank you for your support. Have a lovely day. And find your purpose in life. We all need a purpose. Maybe just go out and look at leaves. Smell them. Roses. Take a long walk on the beach at cool summer night.
Roar, growl, snarl, bellow.
Welcome to Paleobites, the podcast that's basically all those Deinonychus tearing apart that Tyrannosaurus in audio form. My name's Matthew Donald, and each week I'm a rotating series of guest co-hosts talk about and rate a genus of prehistoric animal, be it dinosaur, mammal, arthropod, and so on. This week, it's my fellow Tenontosaurus, who's trying to fight off these Deinonychus. Stephen Curro.
Get them off me.
Why is it that poor Tenontosaurus? The only thing I know Tenontosaurus for, I know it for two things. One, has a really long tail. Two, it gets torn apart by Deinonychus.
Yes, like if you look up every book that mentions it, there's that image of it being...
It's just like the poor Tenontosaurus. Why can't it just catch a break? Let's give it red scales. Go lean in on it.
Poor guy.
Red scales, like it's a red shirt. It's the red shirt of dinosaurs. Because it's just always meant to be seen as prey for the Deinonychus. Even though we think now that maybe they didn't hunt it back. Which is weird.
So, what did they... They found multiple Deinonychus? Deinonychus?
Yeah, I guess some of them might have hunted back. It's like how some dogs are like foxes are kind of are solitary. Well, then you have wolves, so...
Was it a scavenging scene instead?
Possibly, I don't know. Well, I think the reason why they think that they aren't is they found this one. They found two different, I think it was Dromaeosaurus or some other, it wasn't Deinonychus, that had like, they could tell that the babies and the adults had a different diet. And if they were in a pack, they would have the same diets. So, because like the young would eat whatever was left of the scraps, you know. So, but who knows? They also think that the big ones, like Apatosaurus, did hunt in packs. So, like, life is meaningless. God is dead.
I wouldn't say he's dead, but he's definitely keeping us on our toes.
Exactly. It's just like, who cares at this point? Anarchy. Anyways. See, dinosaur-related question. Okay, so this creature, like, has a specific weapon at the end of its tail. If you could invent a dinosaur with another type of weapon... Any type of weapon, anywhere,
But no, be PG, please. What you do?
Wow.
I know, I put you on the spot here. I'll think of one too.
Is it bad that I want to say a laser cannon?
Of course, you wanted to say a laser cannon. Okay, how does it biologically make the laser cannon?
It
has plants on its back. Photosynthesize. Now that doesn't absorb the. It's worth the energy, not the light itself.
It eats minerals, which its stomach is evolved to churn through a chemical process into an energy beam.
Okay.
I don't know. Sure.
Yeah. Sure. Not? I mean, that's worked well enough for dragons, a fantasy made real.
That's what I was going for. Yeah. Like, if they can eat platinum and make it into fire with hydrogen bladders.
Okay, here's what they do. They do that, except the way they angle the platinum in their mouth. It's like a mirror. But there's just lights. It's just a flashlight dinosaur. It's not really a laser cannon. Okay, well, I was going to say, like, what if you have, like, a tooth cannon? You know how, like, how sharks and other can regrow their teeth? Like, what if you have, like...
You just throw a tooth
at your just, like, somehow they get their tongue... Because dinosaurs, the thing they can do is, too, they had a lot of replacement teeth. What if you had your tongue that could just go... Like, right, just shoot your tooth out. Like, your tongue could just go through your mouth so quickly, just... the way you're looking at me is like, Matt, where'd you come up with this crap?
That would be weird, but okay, just, like, sure. It's
just like... Boom, just shoots it far enough, there's like a tooth just... then it grows it back after a couple days. Tooth cannon. That's what I do. So speaking of that specifically, we're talking about the newly described Stegoros, or roof tail.
Ah, yes.
Yes, we...
This guy.
You showed me this, and you're like on Facebook, like, we gotta talk about this on Paleobites. I'm like, yeah, and then here we are.
It's just a very, very bizarre... I like bizarre animals.
I do, like ones with gimmicks. And the ones that don't have gimmicks, I try to make them interesting still. Like recently, like, well, not recently by the time this episode comes out, but recently when I was recording, I did the Camarasaurus episode with my friend of the show, Natasha. And Camarasaurus is a boring-ass long neck if there ever was one. So we came up with ways to make it interesting. It's like, oh, it could hold its neck up mostly vertically. You know, it was considered mid... I always said it was a medium-sized long neck, despite it being sometimes 70 feet long. It's like, was that medium-sized back then?
Oh, Camarasaurus. I believe at Dinosaur Reach they refer to them as the rabbit of the...
Because they're everywhere. It's the most common one, and yet it's so boring that even Walking with Dinosaurs didn't feature it in its Morrison Formation episode. Like, it just had Diplodocus and Brachiosaurus.
But
even though Camarasaurus would have absolutely been there.
Right, right. But this new guy here,
yes,
is just it's a game changer, especially for... It's an ankylosaur, right?
It's specifically a para-ankylosaurian, a group of basal ankylosaurids known from Gondwana, specifically South America, Antarctica, and Australia. You know Minmi, the Australian ankylosaur?
Yeah,
it's not that. It's not related to that. It doesn't include that. Don't be silly. Oh, that one's far earlier from the Cretaceous, and thus far more primitive. Doi.
Fair enough.
Okay, so... but it is 5.9 to 6.6 feet, / 1.8 to 2 meters long. And yet, despite that being that long, and despite being covered in armor... Somehow, based on my research, it is only 220 pounds. That's why I weigh more than this thing.
Really?
Like this again shows that how lightweight dinosaurs are compared to us dense mammals.
That doesn't make sense, though.
A tiger is about 6 feet long and meant for agile pounces, yet weighs like twice or even three times as much as this similarly sized armor-plated herbivore.
Is it all the muscle in the tiger versus the armor
Well, you know, like dinosaurs, they have like their bones have a lot of cavities, like pockets of, like, they're kind of like sponges sort of thing. That's one of the reasons why birds can fly so well. But that's also the reason why big ones like Tyrannosaurus can be 40 feet long and 20 feet high, and yet weigh the same as an African elephant. So.
Sure, why not?
Dinosaurs are pretty lightweight for their size. So diet herbivore, I mean, obviously. Time, late Cretaceous, 75 to 71 million years ago. Location, Chile. Fun fact about Chile, it is home to... the tallest mountain in the world, if you count tallest as distance from the center of the Earth to the top of the peak. Because the Earth is not entirely a sphere.
Sounds like a bit of a stretch, though.
Like, here's the thing. So Mount Everest is further up north, and so when the Earth bulges at the center, at the equator, it bulges the way it spins. It's slightly ovular. So Mount Everest is like 12,000 miles from the top of it's 12,000 miles from the center of the Earth, while this mountain in Chile is like 12,500 miles. Just an interesting way of perspective to like, sort of like how that mountain in like Mount Mauna Loa in Hawaii is technically the tallest mountain in the world, but it's just, it starts like so far below sea level.
Right, it's just not, we can't see it. So
yeah, so it's like, but from the base to the top, it's way taller than Mount Everest, so. Just a different way to look at the world. Now, Mount Everest is officially the highest point from above sea level.
Yes.
It's
not necessarily the tallest mountain.
Yes.
In general.
Yes. Interesting fact about Chile. It was described in 2021, last year, just last year. There's a few already described this year.
Glad to see some paleontologists were out and about in the middle of the pandemic.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know. What?
I mean, as long as they're being
safe about it. It's outside.
Right.
I guess you have to travel. You could get stuck. with like customs,
yeah, that's true. Like, did they have to quarantine at their campsite?
Probably, yeah.
So nothing else to do. Might as well just go digging.
You might as well dig for fossils. Anyways, pop culture branches, none yet. That was fairly recently discovered, but you bet your butt that if I do any more Megazoic books, this will be included for sure.
And as a science fiction writer, I'm going to sneak it into one of my books as well at some point.
Stegoros. But anyway, so speaking of like weaponry. The weaponry in the animal kingdom present is something else. Sure, you've got the basic stuff like claws and teeth. Then you've got the more specialized claws and teeth, like the long claws of anteaters of Therizinosaurus, and the saber teeth of Smilodon, or even more specialized teeth like the narwhal, or the extinct whale Odobenosetops, which is like big long tusk. Huh. Odobenosetops only has it on one side, though. It's a one tooth that goes back like this.
It's asymmetrical.
Yeah.
I hate asymmetry.
Especially in nature, it's weird, man.
It's not right.
Like crabs. Why do they have one claw that's bigger than the other?
Oh, that drives me crazy, too.
You know what also drives me crazy? It's not always the same claw. You look at some crabs, it's the right one, sometimes the left.
So they're right-handed or left-handed?
Yeah!
Ah!
Like, what? Consistency! Anyways, you also have the whips, like the tails of sauropods, clubs, like the tails of ankylosaurs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, some of those whips that, like, you know, like those, sometimes people that just have a whip, they have a whip, like a little rock at the end of it. It's like, Shotosaurus, the long-necked dinosaur with a little bitty club tail. It's one of those.
Oh,
also, nice. They think Minkosaurus had one, too.
Huh.
So.
I did not know that one.
So, but then you have spiked clubs, like the tails of the armadillo rebel belt of Didycurus. And there's also some legitimate firearms in the animal world, like the spitting cobra, or the superheated projectile air bubbles made by the pistol shrimp.
Right.
So
the bombardier beetle.
Yeah, the bombardier beetle. Yeah, like now with this new dinosaur, we can add one more weapon to the animal arsenal. One very specific, but almost exactly depicted by this creature. Now you have one from Polynesia, but the specific name. Well, what is it from, actually, sir?
Well, the one that I found is the Leomano, which is a
Hawaiian.
It's a Polynesian,
yes,
mostly by the Hawaiians, but Polynesian in general, club. It's like a flat club,
yes,
studded with shark teeth on the side.
Well, that's cool. But no, like the one I have though in Mesoamerica, particularly the Aztec, Maya, Mixtec, and Toltec civilizations, there exists a weapon called the Makuahuito, which was a wooden club with a trapezoidal flat and embedded obsidian blade.
So, similar idea.
Yeah, yes. Historians have called these saw swords.
That's a good name for it.
And they were so powerful and sharp that according to an account from conquistador Bernal Diaz de Castillo, it could even decapitate a horse.
Yikes. That's impressive.
Like,
and terrifying.
Well, no, the description of this poor thing, of this horse, because, you know, it's still a horse is big, and it's like the guy probably gets tired. It decapitates it enough that it kills it, but the horse, the head doesn't get all the way detached. Dangles.
That's disgusting.
It's like nearly headless Nick, but a horse, and very much dead. I mean, I guess maybe Nick is dead too, but he's just a ghost.
But it looks like that this dinosaur thought up the design first.
Yes, exactly. Like, but like, yeah, so this Makuahito, a specific weapon known only in history of Mesoamerica, but also has a similar variance to the Polynesian one, is featured almost perfectly in this newly described ankylosaur, Stegoros. Mm-hmm. Had a relatively short tail compared to other ankylosaurs, but the last 12 caudal vertebrae are covered by tough osteoderms, the last 5 of which are fused together to form a flat connected structure. This created a tail weapon unlike any other creature in its family, truly showing how unique and distinctive dinosaurs can be. And yes, it looks almost exactly like a Makuahuito, or what was the one yours was called?
Leomano.
Leomano. man, the Polynesian language flows off the tongue so much better. Yeah. It helps that they only have 12 letters.
Yes.
And five of them are all the vowels.
Oh, man. But yeah, like, it's just, nature's weird.
It is weird.
I don't know how else to say it.
So, like, I feel like the Aztecs and the Polynesians would have been proud.
They would have loved this creature, I think.
I found out that, like, there's no surviving Makuahuitls. Like,
oh, really?
All the ones that we have are replicates found from, like, uh-huh. we made them from, like, either pictures, like tablets or other sort of things. There's never been a surviving, legitimate Makuahuitl.
That's a shame.
Yeah. Because it looks so cool. Are there any surviving Palahonoba?
Leomana.
Leomana.
There are a lot of replicas, like you say.
Mm-hmm.
I don't actually know for sure if there are any antique ones. I know that there are many antique Polynesian weapons from from older eras that are still around. I'll have to double check. I'll get back to you.
Yeah, this is cool. It's just a cool idea for a weapon. Like, the fact that, like, it kind of is like a spatula and then there's, like, a thing for you to grab on. But since it goes out like this, like, you can really exert a lot of force.
Exactly.
And with the obsidian, especially, because that's such a sharp rock.
And then shark teeth? I mean, that's horrifying.
It is horrifying.
I would not want to get hit by either of them.
No! And if you want to be slightly less, you know, deadly, you can just turn it on its flat and just whack him in the face with, like, a frying pan.
That's true. And this creature had something like this on its tail!
Yeah!
So
it was so short, though. Surely it didn't have a lot of range.
Mm-hmm. I guess a theropod that got too close was
around.
In for it.
I guess it was only 200 pounds. It could just bound around
maybe,
back.
Yeah.
Surely that's not right. I surely must have misread that, because that is a lot. I'm already gaining some weight. I need to work on it. But the fact that I weigh more than this thing...
Oh, man.
It's just not good.
That's... really puts it in perspective.
Yeah. I was like, it's maybe 220 pounds. Yeah, I weigh a little bit more than that.
Well, you know, it's never too late to
make
better choices.
My problem is that I drink soda a lot.
If it makes you feel any better, I've been meaning to lose weight myself.
Oh, but look at you shrimp, at least compared to me.
My belly is starting to jiggle.
It's all right. The ladies love it. Give something to grab onto.
What?
I'm just dad bods are in. Like, because, you know, this is the thing. As someone with a dad bod, I remember hearing about dad bods around, like, that's disgusting. like, that's just because we've accepted that we're all just getting bigger. And it's like some people just happen to find it attractive. Sort of like how nowadays, you know, like, silver hair is in now?
Is it?
Yeah.
I actually have kind of silver.
Well,
silver,
like, so that's
going.
Gray. Like, that's like silver. Like, sort of like how, like, you know, like how in Game of Thrones, Daenerys' hair is like a platinum blonde? Imagine platinum gray. So, like, that kind of shiny, but just desaturated.
Okay.
So.
That would look cool.
Yeah, it does look cool, but it's him. I'm just like, oh, is it because everyone's so stressed now thanks to COVID and all this other stuff? We're just getting gray hair.
Maybe.
Early. And people are like, oh, now that's hot. So if you can't make your body the type that's hot, just wait until what's hot is your type of body. That's what I say.
Just be patient.
Anyways. Speaking of sort of like that, I wonder if, like, I guess it's kind of, it's, this is such a specific defense thing, I guess worked more in defense, but also maybe worked a lot on display. So I wonder if it was different for male and females.
That's another good point.
Like, we don't know. We only have a few bones of this thing.
This could be, yeah, it could be, like, maybe only the males have them, or maybe only the females have them.
Or maybe the males have one that's bigger, and it could hold up like a peacock. Maybe not, because that's tail feathers. There's no bone there, but...
You know, so, he could have still used it in some sort of display.
Yeah, or the males could have whacked each other.
That too.
Yeah, so, I don't know. Good stuff. There's a lot of cool stuff. I mean, you just wonder, it's so interesting how all this stuff, like, evolves, and how it all works.
I mean, you know, it gives me hope that, you know, modern paleontology has been around for, what, 150? Maybe 200 years?
Almost getting close to 200.
Yeah, almost 200 years.
Wait, hold on. This is about... Are we nearing the 200th anniversary of the naming of Megalosaurus? Hold on. It was in the 1820s.
Oh.
Let me check. Hold on. Did we miss it?
Did we miss it? Oh, no.
I think Megalosaurus was the first one described.
It was.
So, all right, Megalosaurus.
Megalosaurus was the first. Oh, no, did we miss it?
In 1824, we're still there!
Yes, okay, good, we're on track.
Guys, we gotta celebrate in 2 years. Oh, wait, the Thai species was named in 1827. Wait, no, 1827, what? The Thai species was named in 1827, but the first genus was named in 1824. Getting close, guys. 200 years of dinosaurs.
Oh, that's so exciting.
Yeah.
What I was going to say is that we're still making discoveries. Like,
Oh, yeah, that's the thing. It is. We are eventually going to run out, unfortunately, because it's not like there's ever new ones. They've always been there.
Unfortunately, so, you know.
But I think I've read that they estimate that won't happen for at least another 200 or 300 years.
Excellent.
Yeah, so. Yeah. And we're currently in the golden period, where, like, there's still a lot to find. Eventually, like, in 150 years or so, it will slow down. Which will suck.
And then who knows?
But then once we find them all, like, I mean, and I don't know, there could still be more, like under the sea or something, or things that we can have with better technology.
I mean, eventually we'll be able to get into Antarctica and see what's going on there.
Because, like, we have Cryolophosaurus and Glacialsaurus, I think is the other one that was in that. But that's a whole formation there that was found. And even when we do run out, we'll always have more to talk about, more to learn. Like, because we can study things. Like, there's so many dinosaur species that are described not out in the field, but, like, in a museum.
That's true.
Like, where it's like someone looks over something else, like, actually.
That belongs to such and such.
Yeah, that's the way I want to describe dinosaurs. I don't want to go out in the heat of the desert.
Yeah,
I just want to
be
in a building and just get drunk one Sunday and just describe 10 species in one night. Like,
people will look at a bone and be like, actually, I think this animal might have been, you know, the endothermic, I don't know.
But yeah, whatever. Yeah, there's more stuff to learn, yeah. It's just beyond what we have, all the material and other stuff. But the Earth's so big, it'll be a while.
So this just means that we have about 300 or 400 years before we absolutely have to invent time travel.
Yes, and then, yeah, that's...
Then we have to go find the dinosaurs for ourselves.
Oh, God, what if we don't? And then that's one of the things why dinosaurs are still so fascinating, because it's a growing field. Mm-hmm. We run out of stuff to learn.
Well, we
dinosaurs
won't.
Will just get forgotten.
At least we won't be around for that.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Anyways, on that sad note, that's it for this week. Oh, wait, hold on, we didn't rate it. We're at 65 million. We didn't rate it, like... I mean, there's not really much else to it other than it's that. It's a one-trick pony, but...
Yeah.
It's still pretty cool, though. Like, let me rate it, like... 40 million? 41 million?
I was thinking I'm going to give it a provisional 45.
45. Okay, cool.
There we go.
I mean, it's very cool looking. Imagine the weaponry I could put on it in a Megazoic book.
Oh, you could give it like an extension energy sword or something.
That's what I was thinking. Maybe like it does like, it waves it and then like a wave of energy just kind of...
It has a lightsaber.
Yeah. But it's not even like a lightsaber. It's more like a light wave. Like it just whirls us down, then a wave of energy just ripples out
that'll
in that direction.
Cool.
Yeah,
that works too.
Or it's just like they extend like the blades on. Just
nice.
And or a lightsaber. Lightsabers make everything cooler.
Exactly.
All right, that's it for this week. If you want to get a hold of the show, you can contact us at mattd@methadonecreator.com. For your journal questions to either co-host, you can find me on social media at @methadonecreator on Facebook, at @methadon64 on Twitter, and @methadon64 on Instagram. I have a book series on Amazon, Megazoic, available for print and Kindle, which, again, I will put this in if I ever do more. Which I might at some point. I just want to take a break. I want to do other things, you know.
Of course.
But like, if I ever do more, this is definitely going in. What about you? What do you want to plug?
So, yes, I have written multiple short stories and poems. You can find my work in, or that. You can find it now or soon to be in New Myths, Sci-Fi Quest, The Fifth Die, and others. My website is at STEPHEN.CURRO.
No dot in the middle of that.
Nah, I thought it'd be better
if I
spell it out.
It's STEPHENCCURRO.com.
Thank you.
Of course.
Yeah, I thought it'd be easier if I just spelt it out rather than explain, oh, I'm Steve.
But
then
you just kind of just put it like, I used to be able to say the alphabet
just
in like 2 seconds.
Really?
Have you seen it? Nope. I used to. I've lost it. I get tongue-tied. I used to be like...
It's less tongue-tied than me.
Anyway,
find my stuff. Find Matt's stuff. Thank you all for listening.
Yes. I have another podcast called The Wrist Witch, where 2 twins talk about written. Whenever that's going to stop or not stop. Who knows? It's going to go on forever. This whole show's going to go on forever. Both of these shows are.
These are the shows that never end.
Like this damn pandemic. Anyways. You know, I've said this 1.5 billion times, but you know, maybe by the time this episode comes out, it'll be over.
Maybe, yeah.
Oh, I remember listening to some of the ones we did recently back when we started doing episodes again. And we're so naive because, like, it was right before our Delta. So we're like, oh, we're nearing the end. Yeah, like,
yeah. I mean, for those of you who are listening, we're recording this riding February, the wave of, oh, yeah.
February 2022.
And we're riding the tail end of Omicron.
Yep.
And they're saying that there are probably going to be more variants.
But hopefully less deadly.
Hopefully probably less
more deadly. More contagious, less deadly is the way it'll go.
We're still in the long haul. I'm betting it's going to be like 2023 before this is finally.
Oh, yeah. Once the Omega wave hits and we all become zombies, then.
No! No zombies.
Anyways, alright, that's it for this week. We'll see you at the end of every episode of Paleo Bites. Omicron. I don't know. Omega.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.